Asian Pop Nation on Sin 90.7.
Welcome to Asian Pop Nation, Sin's flagship show for Asian music and pop culture. I'm your executive producer, Tracy, and today's opening songs were ABCD by Nayeon and Turtle by Blase featuring Changha. Tonight, you'll be hearing from the APN crew made up of Leisha, Lee, Xenia, Ethan, Annabella, and JP, our resident cryptid man who has joined us this week all the way from Japan. Tonight is a super special show because we're going to be airing an interview with an incredibly talented artist who makes incredible music. Her name is Tiffy. She's 21 years old from Western Sydney, and you might know her from her SoundCloud days. Lee and Leisha sat down with her last week to talk about her new single called Medicine, starting as a singer-songwriter on SoundCloud at the age of 13, and the whole experience of growing up on the internet as an ordinary high schooler who was also a semi-public figure. She also weighed in on the Sydney versus Melbourne debate, how Asian parents always come around in the end, and how Stardew Valley has been taking over her life. I really liked listening back to the interview. It's very, very comfy, and I hope you enjoy it as well. But before then, we've got some more great tracks to share with you all. The next song comes from two Korean indie producers, Soomin and Slom. In 2021, they dropped the collaboration EP miniseries, which blew my mind and kind of redefined the whole K-R&B genre to me. And they've recently announced a follow-up to that project called Miniseries 2. This is the pre-release single. It's a super fun track called Spotlight. This is Asian Pop Nation on Sin. We've just played three gorgeous tracks, starting with Stoplight by Soomin and Slom, following on with Body Ache by Otter Slim, and finally concluding with Smile For Me from the wonderful Indian-American singer Ravina from the album Where the Butterflies Go in the Rain. A beautiful name for a beautiful album. I highly recommend it. It's the perfect thing to put on to calm you down when you're having a stressful day. And speaking of artists who make incredible music, coming up right now on Asian Pop Nation is our interview with the one and only Tiffy. She's a 21-year-old Asian Australian singer from Western Sydney who makes very good music. Her song California actually was one of my favorite songs of 2023. In addition to making great music, she's also a really great interviewee, really funny, really insightful, and really smart. Lee and Leisha got to speak to her on Zoom last week, right after the release of her new single called Medicine, and this is going to be a pretty long interview because all of it was really enjoyable. I hope you enjoy listening to it as much as I did.
Welcome back to Asian Pop Nation. My name is Lee and I'm joined by Leisha.
Hi!
And the next artist joining us on Asian Pop Nation is 21-year-old from Western Sydney. She started her music career on SoundCloud when she was only 13, which is crazy. But since then, she's released two amazing EPs, Growing Pains from 2021 and Dating Pool, which was released last year, which we actually featured on the show as well. So she's also opened for Grant Perez, who we love and adore here on APN. And we interviewed him in 2022, but without further ado, we've got Tiffy in the house.
Hello. Yo.
Thanks for coming on the show, Tiffy.
Of course.
Yeah, please tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, you covered it really good though. Yes, I'm 21. I am half Taiwanese and half Chinese. I'm a political conflict baby.
Oh.
I was born and raised in Western Sydney. I started out my music journey kind of making bedroom pop, like on SoundCloud and stuff. It took off. But recently I've been leaning more into like a rock and pop sound.
Mm. Mm-hmm. So your new single, Cold Medicine, came out at the time of recording yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, literally last night.
I know. Literally, yeah. So what does that feel like for that song to finally be out and released into the world?
Really exciting, but also like really scary because I love it and I worked so hard on it and everyone worked really hard on it, and like I just hope that I don't know, like it does well. It's so scary, I don't know. But I really love that song. I made it with Matt Mason from DMAs and Constantine Kersting, like Australian idols, you know what I mean? So, and I think the song sounds like super Aussie. Like it's like as Aussie as I'm going to get. And I love it. So I hope that Australia loves it too. Please, please be on my side, guys.
Me and Leisha love the song. Oh my God. Literally.
Oh yeah. No, when it literally came out, like a few minutes into this interview, I'm like just listening to it in the background and I'm like, yes, she's tapping into this. I love it. Like, literally, I think you've excelled in that, what you literally mentioned before of jumping from bedroom pop now, like, tapping into subgenres, like, in the rock scene, because I love the instrumentals, the guitars and stuff that's going on in this track.
We just want to ask, like, for your last single, Chemtrails, it was written on your first trip to Melbourne, where you came down with a cold. So I guess we assume, like, cold medicine is also from that same trip. Like, so can you tell us, like, how the songs came together or how they're related?
Yeah. So I actually wrote Cold Medicine first, and I wrote it in Sydney. I did a session with Matt Mason, and at first I didn't really like the song, actually. Like, I sent it to my managers, and they were like, this is so good. Like, this is amazing. And I was like, yeah, I can do it better. I don't know. But then, like, once I saw the vision, I was like, actually, no, I really, really love this song. Because at first, like, the demo that we made for it obviously sounded really different. Like, it was a really quick session. Yeah, I just had to, like, kind of imagine up what it would sound like in the end. I wrote that during, like, a flu season, but I'm always sick. Like, my fans know I am always sick, and, like, after every show I get sick just because, no, like, exerting that energy, just, like, I just cannot take it. Like, my body can't take it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was in Melbourne, and, like, in the demo version of Chemtrails, like, my nose is so blocked. I literally cannot even breathe out of my nose. Like, it was horrible, and my voice was all, like, raspy and terrible. But yeah, it's fun. So the whole, like, the through line kind of throughout these two songs, and, like, songs that will come later, it's just kind of about, like, I had, like, a really tumultuous year in, like, 2022, 2023-ish, and it was about, like, sickness and health, and it's about, like, rot, and kind of how, like, the things that you run from are kind of, like, the things that are comforting to you. Like, I took a lot of solace in, like, feeling sad, because I'm, like, really used to the emotion, and, like, feeling happy, even though that's what I wanted, I was actually I'm really afraid of, because I just am not used to it, and I don't know how to, like, handle it. So I'd rather, like, sit in, like, a bad place kind of thing. And I was, like, reflecting on that part of myself, and kind of, like, the message is kind of being, like, it's okay that, like, we don't really know the solutions to all of these things. Like, it's just important to talk about it and to share it with people. Plus, I just think the songs are fun. At the end of the day, it's just fun music to listen to.
Yeah. Oh my God. I'll definitely keep that in mind when I'm listening to the song again. Actually, the music video we also watched as well last night. Like, the music video is so aesthetically pleasing, but also, like, it's kind of a little bit creepy. Like, it's great. Like, it's got, I guess, like, I got, like, a dark Alice in Wonderland sort of vibe, but we actually are so curious and have to ask, who is behind the bunny mask?
It's really funny, because when I was filming it, I actually started to get a bit, like, creeped out, because, like, the bunny is, like, so the bunny is, like, an actual Easter bunny outfit.
Yeah.
Like, he has, like, a blue vest, and he has a bow tie. He's meant to look cute, but, like, we didn't, you know, he's not wearing that because it's supposed to be, like, scary. Like, it's supposed to be scary to a certain extent. Like, it's a bit goofy, and we know that. Like, it's silly looking.
Yeah.
But I was starting to get a bit creeped out on set, especially at the end of Chemtrails when the bunny hugs me. Like, during that scene, I was like, oh, I feel a bit like, ooh.
Oh,
like,
no! Oh, yeah.
But actually, behind the mask is the cutest person ever. It's my friend Linchi. They are my graphic designer. Cutest little Vietnamese person with blue hair. Nothing to be afraid of. Nothing to be afraid of. But oh my gosh, when they were wearing the mask, I was like, I cannot take it. Like, I feel like I'm afraid. But there's a really funny video on my Instagram highlights of Linchi in the bunny suit. They're, like, dancing, but Linchi's really good at dancing. So, like, and they're dancing to, like, a hip hop song. It's just so funny. Like, I realized that the bunny is so goofy looking.
Just the Easter bunny breaking it down.
True.
Nah, that's so cute. Okay, so now, like, we are a Melbourne-based show, so of course we have to know, like, what were your first impressions of the city during your visit here, or is there anything, like, that really stands out as really different to Sydney?
Well, you know the discourse between Sydney signers and Melbourne.
Yeah, yeah.
There is so much discourse. I'm just like, guys. Well, I do love Melbourne. Like, I like going there. I don't think I would ever live there because, like, you know, Sydney is my home, and I think there's nowhere in the entire world like Western Sydney. Like, it is just, like, a completely different culture. Melbourne is, like, a lot of cafes.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of murals. I don't know. Like, y'all are fussy and stuff like that, you know. Sydney's more of, like, a business city, but it's cool. But I think that I'm kind of scared. Like, don't you feel like when the fashion girlies and the fashion boys are out on the streets, like you feel judged? It's just like, I don't want to.
Oh, yes. Real.
You know, like everyone's so cool. Like, I feel like I can't just be regular.
Yeah. Like if I'm in my, I don't care outfit and I'm like, guys, stop looking at me. Like, this I'm like, everyone's wearing
like $100 shoes. I'm like, I can't take
it.
Yeah. Well, how do you guys feel about Melbourne? Do you think that it's a bit uppity or do you think that it's like really like, no, because like that's how Sydney people feel about Melbourne. It's like, oh, you guys are so like arty and farty and uppity and, you know, stuff like that. What do you reckon as Melbourne
that's
locals?
That's interesting. Definitely our coffee culture is very snobby, I would say. Like people would go around and be like, I want a magic, blah, blah, blah. Like,
God forbid we drink a cappuccino, bro.
Yeah. I guess maybe it's like the Sydney versus Melbourne sort of culture as well. But I don't know. I quite like Sydney. I love the city and like the architecture as well when I'm walking through. But also the trains, like flippable seats. We need that in Melbourne right now.
I literally cannot believe that you guys don't have that. You guys are like 5 centuries behind us. We're like Japan compared to Japan.
Yeah, literally, like we're so behind. Like even on your light rails, like you can tap on with your bank card. You can't do that here. What? You need to buy like a random, like a Mikey card.
Oh
which is,
my God. That is nuts to me. That's crazy. You would think that, I feel like Melbourne is supposed to be like the modern, cool, like that's so crazy. Y'all are behind. And you know what? Sydney's train system sucks, so y'all got it worse. That's crazy.
Yeah, literally.
That is so nuts to me. Oh my gosh.
I mean, I've also heard like these are from some of my friends who come from like Adelaide, so completely flip around, least favorite place of all time. That's a lie. But they've always said how Melbourne is like, we're New York light, like we're the budget version of New York, aka busy, busy, nobody wants to talk to you. They've always yapped about how we're like very unfriendly because,
oh really?
Yeah, like from their experience, they're like, oh, even if I'm walking down the street, I can smile at someone and nod on their head and they'll at least like nod back and smile back. But
well, that's because they're from Adelaide. There's nothing to do except for nod and smile. I'm just kidding.
Like, oh, I'm like, damn, these people don't wanna nod their head back at me, or if I say like good day to a random.
Well, woman. How do they feel about Sydney? Do they think it's friendlier?
I guess like kind of, but allegedly Sydney doesn't have the best nightlife, so it's like docking points on that department.
Sydney has no nightlife. Melbourne has a much better nightlife for like young people, I guess, but like, I don't want to do that. Just like I'm not interested in that. So it makes no difference to me.
Oh my gosh. I love to keep going on about like the natural discourse, dissecting it deep, make it like a special segment, dissecting all the capital cities with Tiffy. But one thing that we're actually very curious about, like you as an artist, is definitely your like songwriting journey. Because girl, every time I see this info, jaw drop all the time, because you literally started out writing songs, posting them on SoundCloud, as you mentioned earlier, like back when you were 13. Like how, like maybe I'm putting it in my own head of like 13 years old, I was too busy like eating lunch alone at like a bathroom or something. Oh, but but like how like, how was like Tiffy at 13 years old? Like, how did she get there into making music on SoundCloud?
Yeah. Well, honestly, if I'm going to be honest, it came from like completely a place of like loneliness. Like I struggled so hard to make friends at school. I was only diagnosed like as an adult, but I'm actually on the spectrum. So when I was a child, like my parents, I guess, didn't know that I'm the last of 4 kids. So I was a bit overlooked. I struggled a lot at school. I struggled with making friends. I felt like I had no one to talk to. I just didn't relate to any of my peers. Like I related more with my teachers and like with adults than I did with people my age. Like it was very difficult for me to feel like there was any sort of safe space for me. So I went on the internet a lot. Like that was where I made friends. Like I made friends playing video games. I made friends making music, like stuff like that. And I felt really accepted in that society. And it was like living a double life. Like I, you know, went to high school and I felt like I didn't fit in anywhere. And then I went home and then I had this like whole community of people who listened to my music and stuff. And I felt so like, it felt so cool. I felt like Hannah Montana. Like, it was such a fun time. And I would wake up in the morning, at 6 o'clock to go to school. And the first thing I would do is check my SoundCloud messages. I'm like, oh my God, has anyone messaged me? Like, who wants to collab? Like at this point, I probably had like 100 followers, like not popular at all, but it was like, it was so exciting to me. I remember when my first song hit 1,000 plays, my friend baked me a cake. Like, oh, that's how excited we were. Like, it was such a, it was this feeling of like, I have never ever had this sort of attention and validation in my life where I was rewarded for being creative. Because, you know, in Asian culture, like, it's, you get rewarded for being academically great. You get rewarded for, you know, doing stuff that's like conducive to making money. Like, things that are creative and stuff like that, they expect you to be good, but they don't expect you to ever pursue it. You know what I mean? Like, they'll put their kids in piano lessons and violin lessons, but if their kid wants to be a pianist or a violinist, like, get out. You know what I mean? Like, so it's, I was like, I've never been rewarded for something like that. And also, like, my older siblings and stuff had lessons, but by the time it got to me, my parents were kind of just like, whatever. So I never actually was formally trained in any music or anything. And I feel like I kind of like had resentment about that, because in my family, like, I was the only one who was actually interested in music. Like, I wanted to learn, and I was the only one who didn't get put in lessons. And I was like, what the heck? but I found my own way. Like, I figured it out my own way. Like, I learned it on the internet, watched YouTube, you know, that you can learn anything on the internet nowadays. Yeah, so it honestly just started out as, like, I really wanted a place to, like, make friends, be part of something. I wanted to be part of a team so bad. and it grew from there. It was a beautiful thing. I really missed that era.
Yeah. Oh, having, like, everything come back from, like, just starting out purely on building a community online and all that stuff. I feel like some people take it for granted a little bit, like how it can be like such a safe space for people who in their outer world, like, it's not reflecting sort of thing. I guess, like, in your answer earlier, I was just curious, obviously now 21, you're pursuing music like beyond on SoundCloud, you're releasing singles and tracks and EPs, like somewhere in between that, how did you approach, I guess, like, talking again with your parents and all that stuff, who've already, as you mentioned, kind of put you more on the back lines. How did you approach them kind of being like, oh, hey, now this is not like a little thing I do behind the scenes. I actually want to pursue this like fully.
Yeah. Well, at the end of the day, like, if you want to imagine my parents, just imagine your parents. Like, if you're Asian, I'm sure there's like a through line, you know, like, I'm sure it's very similar. My parents are like very loving and hardworking, but obviously they had some trepidation. My older siblings, I have three, they all did like, you know, computer science, mechatronics, psychology, Asian studies. They did, my brother has like a master's in chemical engineering. So it's like, when it came to me, I already had felt like the failure. Like, I always felt like the dropkick of the family, you know, like, I wasn't smart like them, you know, whatever. I did well in school, but like, I didn't like excel the way that my siblings did. Like, they excelled. And like, I think I kind of forget sometimes that actually, no, I was a very smart and capable child. I just like was always constantly comparing myself to my older siblings. Mm. When year 12 came and I sat my HSC, which is like the entrance exams in Sydney, I was like, okay, I don't think I really want to do this. I was thinking like, yes, I could go to school, but I kind of came to an agreement with my parents. Oh, they weren't happy. I tell you what, they were not happy with me. But I was like, look, I'll take 1 year off and I'll put my all into music. I'll really give it a proper try. And if at the end of the year, nothing comes from it, then I will go to uni. Like, I promise you that. And I kind of think I knew in my heart that I wasn't going to go back. But my parents were like, okay, you know, like, I'll allow it. it was hard to convince them. It was really hard. They, you know, like, didn't have like the education that maybe they wanted to have. They didn't get to study the thing that they maybe wanted to study. And like, they gave that liberty to me. And I said, no, I don't want to do that, to their face. You know what I mean? So I can completely understand from their perspective where it's like, are you kidding me? Like, I did all of this and you're just going to be like, nah, you know? But they've definitely come around. My parents are so supportive now. Like, they see that it makes me happy. They come to all my shows. They're so sweet. Yeah. And you know what? Like, Asian parents, they always come around. They always come around. Like, you just gotta give it time. Like, they, you know, they're kind of set in their ways sometimes, but they love you so much. Like, yeah.
Oh, that is so real. Like, is that my experience as well?
We've never had like a single original experience.
Yeah, no.
I swear to God. When you're Asian, like everything that happens to you in your life is just like, is definitely happened to someone else.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, it's just part of the experience, guys.
I know. And it's so crazy. It's like, how did all of the parents end up the same?
especially when Asia, not a monolith, literally has so many different like ethnicities. Same pipeline. They're like lawyer, doctor, boom, boom, it's happening. No, the internal guilt as well. Whoa, that was like, I definitely, it's still like something, I don't know if you feel this way, Tiffy. It's like something that kind of feels like it never truly goes away entirely. That like internal guilt, even though you internally know that you're doing like, I'm doing things in the world, but it's like, that internal guilt still like creeping in behind of like, oh, my parents came over here and started a new life.
For sure. It's like, how can you repay somebody for giving up their whole life for you? It's like, at that point, I'm just like, I'm sorry. I can't do all of that, you know?
Yeah, like, I'm just a girl.
I know, I'm just a girl. Like, I don't have the facilities, babe. But I think that it's like important for us as their children to recognize, like, it's up to us to like break that generational, like, trauma. Like, we don't want to pass it down to anybody else, and it's like not our parents' fault. Like, I can understand, like, girl, if I was fleeing, and I would be like stressed the hell out too. Like, I would be to my kids like, you better be a doctor too, you know what I mean? But now that we, like, you know, like, we grew up in like a Western place, like, we have a different ideology, we were taught different things, you know, we speak like English as mostly our first languages and stuff like that, like, it's really important to not impart that to the next people who come after us. Like, I feel like we can forgive our parents and we can, you know, move on to something better. Like, it's not gonna be worth it to just like be mad at them forever for it. But definitely I feel guilty about it. I was so guilty about it when my parents are like, you're not coming home this week to eat dinner with your poor papa. I'm like, come on, dad, I'm busy. I'm like, okay, I'll come.
You're like, please.
The guilt trip.
I know, the guilt trip is crazy.
They love pulling these stunts, but it's okay, they love us.
They do. They're like, remember when you were 7 and I bought you blah blah blah. I'm like, that was a decade ago. That was, what?
Or they're like, oh, this bad thing happened to you. Oh, it's because you never took those classes I gave you that one time you were 7.
For real. Oh my God. My mom got in like two car accidents in the same car. She was like, no, the car is cursed. We have to sell it.
It's always because you're on that damn phone of yours.
You're on that damn phone. That's why your ears are always ringing. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. 1 year in, 1 year out sort of thing. Love you, parents.
I know. So funny, though. It's so comical.
Love you. Could do like a whole sitcom of Asian parents. Like, literally. My gosh. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I guess like alongside with that, we like talked to you a little bit of like you starting out and the process into becoming a singer. And now look at you, 21, making music, been doing it for like 8 years now. Like, I don't know, like looking back, how do you feel like you as a person, like your like process in writing music or producing, like how has that changed over time, sort of thing?
So at the start, I made music all alone in my room. I didn't tell anybody about it. All the producers that I worked with were people I've never met in real life. I still haven't met. And it was just like all through like Discord, Dropbox links, like stuff like that, like back and forth. Only in like the last year, I've actually started to work with people in real life. And like, I really love it. Like, you get that connection and it's really, really fun. And bouncing ideas off of other creatives, like in the same room, like is just such a liberating experience. I also did like a writing camp that was like for like women and non-binary people, just like non-male people, because we don't often get to work with other women and like just people who are not male in our industry. So it's so fun. Like, it was probably the most fun I've ever had in such a long time. But just because we wrote music just for the love of writing music, like sometimes you forget and like you have to make a product and I'm always thinking like, is anyone gonna like this or listen to this? But it's like, no, you can just make stuff for the love of making it. Like, it's okay. Like, it's okay if it's terrible. Like, who cares? Like, no one's gonna care, you know what I mean? And if they don't like this one, they'll listen to the next one, kind of thing. Yeah. And but in terms of writing, I've always just written by myself. I do like write with other people now in terms of like they're in the room with me, but I'm pretty like headstrong and like I drive the direction in terms of writing, because on top of being a musician, like more than that, I think I'm more of like a writer than a musician. You know, I was like never formally trained. I'd never had like vocal lessons. I'm not like the best singer in the world, but I think what is special about like my artist project is just like I'm very honest and I want to connect with people and I want to write about things that are like hard to talk about and like people don't want to talk about, because I'm very in touch with all of like the messed up things in life. Like I love like all of the books that I read, all of the media that I consume. Like I love seeing like the dark side of stuff just because I think it's a lot more interesting than the happy side of stuff. Yeah, I've always been like attracted to that. So yeah, I love to connect with people in that way. And like people always like message me and like, oh, you helped me so much. I'm like, that can't be true. Like I feel like I know they're telling me the truth because why would they lie to me? But like it just feels so crazy because it's like I'm just one person over here. You know what I mean? It's so crazy to think that you could like impact other people's lives like that.
Yeah. Oh my God. I can't imagine. Oh, the imposter syndrome.
Oh my God. No, the imposter syndrome is so real. It's so real.
No, I feel like that's such a cute like way transitioning off from like SoundCloud realm and you mentioning earlier like getting little messages, searching them up, but then now you're on this space, you get like IG DMs and stuff and people are like, I love your song. Yeah, help me through these times. Just your evolution. I think you're gonna like kill it more and more as like time goes on. Mm-hmm. I think you got it in the bag. I guess alongside with talking about songs, I know this is usually a question that artists, it's like the bane of their existence because it's like choosing between your favorite children. But you've made so much incredible music throughout the years. Do you still have a song, though, that is like it is your baby, like it's your absolute favorite, maybe because the process of it was really fun or it represents what you feel like is like a leap in your like song making abilities and all that stuff?
Well, I'll just preface that I hate the old music. Oh. Like I totally respect her. I respect her, but listening to me sing in that indie girl voice, I cannot stand it. It is. But in terms of like my old music, I would say like my little baby is probably like Heartbreaker Club. Just because it's so silly. I know it's stupid. It's so dumb. I wrote it when I was like 17 or something. I wasn't breaking anyone's hearts. Are you joking me? I didn't even go out on a date with anybody before. Like I was just completely delusional in my mind. But it's just such a fun song. I love playing it live. And I think that even in like my old discography, even though like I don't like all of the songs, I still really, really love that one for what it is. Yeah, and I think it's good to like honor your past self. That's what she want. What that's what she wanted back then. Maybe not now, but back then, you know, I'll allow it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like funny you mentioned that you're like, ooh, the older songs, you're like, I do not want to touch her. But like our executive producer Tracy, I mean, she wishes she was here, but she's like a massive fan of your music. And she wanted to give an extra little shout out to her favorite song of yours, which is California.
Whoa, that's a nice one. Good pick, Tracy.
Yeah. Okay, this one's not on your hater list.
No. I like this one. This one's okay. This one's okay.
Whereas I think Lee and myself, we're both really, really into like your... I feel like what a song that represents now your jump in everything that you mentioned, which is Chemtrails. I know she's new, but I think it's like, it's so good.
It's a new era.
She's
sure.
Entering her new era.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I do love that song a lot. I felt so cool writing it. I was like, oh, just like an indie girl. I'm so cool. I'm so different.
No, you sound so cool as well. Like the straight like opening of you singing it. I'm just like, whoa, like 0.1 seconds of listening to it. This is the it song. Yeah, literally.
The cap of this little like, I feel like we've been through on like a journey. Tiffy from point A at 13 years old to Tiffy now. You literally recently performed at Vivid Sydney, and despite us being Melburnians, yes, we do know what Vivid Sydney is, and like a massive stage you opened for Mallrat and all that stuff. And it's like, how does that feel like performing in such huge stages like that? Going from like thinking of little Tiffy on SoundCloud to like now performing on big stages, how does that feel like?
It's pretty crazy, but you know, like humble beginnings, but also my life is still very humble now. You know, I'll tell you the truth. Like I work two retail jobs. So like I do music, yes, but like I also just work like a regular person. And like I go see my parents and they're just such regular people. And I just go home and I play video games. And like it just, my life isn't like it's pretty crazy. Like I'll do stuff and then the next day I'll clock into work and just feel like, oh, now nobody knows who I am. And it's like a nice feeling to me. Like, I like feeling normal and not to say like I'm getting like mobbed or anything, but it's just like it's nice to separate your work and your like regular life, you know what I mean? And it's kind of like, even though people know now, it still feels kind of like my little secret. Like, I still feel like, you know, when I meet people in real life, like they don't know that about me, because I'm not like, you know, I'm not like a huge artist or anything like that. So I still really like cherish this time as well, because I know I'm gonna look back, like if at one point in my life that I do make it that, you know, I can live like off my music like fully, I know I will look back on this time and be like, oh yeah, I remember like I worked in retail, I worked in hospital, I worked in admin, like I worked hard to like get here, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like I worked just like everybody else, like it wasn't given to me easily. And I think that's like my immigrant parent like talking right now, because it's like you I feel like, you know, I did really work hard for it. I sacrificed a lot of stuff for it, to do music. I had to like give up a lot of like relationships and like a lot of my time and effort to do it, because I love it. And so I think that when I have those moments where I play really big shows, it's so crazy to me still, that people would come out and see me. And it's like, you know, maybe it's not like, obviously not everyone that is there to see me, but even just like 7 people showing up to see me is crazy. Like, I cannot believe that 7 people in their life, they were like, I'm gonna put on clothes and shower and do my makeup and bring a little present to go see this person. It's just nuts to me. Like, it just feels so crazy. I hope that if one day like I can play for like a whole room of people who are there just to see me, like I can remember that, you know, I worked really hard for that, and like I can be appreciative of it. If I ever get a big head or a big ego, like please kick me in the face. No. Like I would literally, if I ever am not like humble and like nice to people, like I would know that I have failed.
Yeah, we clip this part exactly, yes, and then yes, DM you
send
like
it to me and be like,
remember this?
You're doing too much.
Remember you're who you were. This isn't you, girl. No,
this isn't you. Look at me. This isn't you,
Jason. Oh my god, no, like, oh, even you speaking about their fans, because I remember I saw on your like social media and all this stuff, you literally did have fans like rock up after your performance at Vivid Sydney. Oh my god, like I cannot imagine how that would have felt. Like, it's so cute.
I know, they even like wrote me little letters and I scrapbooked them, someone drew me a picture. It's just crazy, because I know if I went back in time and told the little version of me that that was happening, like she would literally throw up and die. Like, she would not be able to handle it, because she would just be so excited. And like, I just hope I never, ever, ever take that for granted, because it's like such an amazing feeling. I can't believe people care about me like that. Like, that is just so incredible. And yeah, I'm so grateful.
Oh, that's so sweet.
That's really precious. Oh, I guess, damn. Oh, one of the questions that we have, and I'm going to throw it to Lee because I don't have knowledge on this game. Whoops, call me a fake gamer. But you mentioned a few times throughout that you're like, some games here and there. So this is where we're really going to grill you on that aspect here.
I'll okay, let Lee, you're a gamer girl? One,
yo, that's me. You see my gamer chair? Oh, God.
I see your gamer chair. That lumbar support.
Bro, it sucks ass, but anyway. So our EP, Tracy, once again, she actually tuned into your live stream yesterday, and we found out that you play Stardew Valley, and it has been consuming your life right now.
Oh,
you're right.
Yeah.
Stardew Valley.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just recently started playing it. Normally I play like FPS games where I like shoot people.
Oh, same.
But for some reason, Stardew Valley is equally as like stressful.
It is.
I'm like, I need to get the fish, yes, or else the strawberry seeds. I can't, I don't have, yes, enough money. And then when the day is over, we're going to have to start, mm-hmm, over again, because now I have no money. It's so stressful. It's more stressful than like the violent games.
Yeah, literally. You have to calculate like this when the season ends, God, and when you can plot stuff, and you have to get back to bed by like 2 a.m.
Yeah. Or else you pass out and then mm-hmm, you'll get robbed.
Oh my
and then,
god,
like, the hospital bills, mm-hmm, you. Oh god, it's just a whole hullabaloo, you know what I mean? What other games do you play, Lee?
Lee. This is where she starts sweating.
I have played in the past Valorant, not that good at that, and then Overwatch, Genshin Impact. Oh my god,
you spent money on that game. I know you do.
Don't even talk to me about that.
Don't worry. I've spent like so much money on Candy Crush. I'm literally an Asian auntie. Literally an Asian auntie. Like, yes, I play like Valorant. I play Apex Legends. I play like other like video games, like, you know, but Candy Crush. I've spent so much money on Candy Crush. I'm like, no, I can't lose my streak. Or else.
I love how you gave that little bit of like, guys, no, trust me, I'm a real gamer. I play all these other ones.
No, I'm a real gamer, guys. No, I'm kidding. But like, yeah, like I really do be playing those inconsequential ass games. Like, spent hours on Tetris. It's just, I got a lot of time on my hands, apparently.
That's a good way to de-stress.
De-stress, exactly.
It really is.
Oh,
so do you have anyone that you're romancing in Stardew Valley right now? The most important question.
Oh my gosh. Okay, I actually play Stardew Valley with another person, like with a co-op, like with my friend.
Oh, okay.
So I have not been romancing anyone, but have you ever played the original Harvest Moon games?
No, I haven't.
Okay, but... so Stardew Valley, like the whole genre of like farming game, farming ex dating game came from like Harvest Moon. Mm. And I played that on like my home computer where everybody had to rotate for an hour because there's four of us.
Oh,
and like everyone playing MapleStory like back in the day, you know, like real back in the day. And I used to romance people in that game all the time. And at the time, like I was a child, like I wasn't thinking about anything. I would always romance the girls. Always romance the girls. And then when I came to like puberty, I was like, that's weird. That's like weird. Is that normal? Do y'all romance the girls too?
Or
is
me?
Let's unpack that.
Or is that just me? Yeah. I should have known. Like half of my community, like who listens to my music, are queer. I'm like, I should have figured it out earlier, but I didn't for some reason.
Oh, I should have connected.
No, that's me at Haley in Stardew Valley.
Oh,
she's
my
like
gosh.
Such a like, oh, you're like, your clothes are disgusting, but then she like warms up to you as you
romance.
Yeah,
she's like a tsundere.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, bro, that's literally it. A tsundere type. Oh, yeah. God.
Like, I don't want to hang out with you. Yeah. Don't go. I get it. Well, we now know Lee's type. If anyone's
Hey, guys.
I'm so guys.
Girl, please.
It's a dating radio show.
Girl,
oh,
please.
My God. But it's been really amazing chatting with you, Tiffy, and just getting to know more about your journey. And before we wrap up the interview, we have one last question. Is there anything in the works for the rest of 2024?
Ooh. Lots of things in the works. Lots of things. In July, I have two shows at the Oxford Art Factory.
Oh.
I'm opening for Alice Ivy, who's the person who produced Chemtrails and Me.
Cute.
And I'm also opening for an Asian artist called Milky Day. Do you guys know Milky Day? You should look him up. I think he is from Melbourne. He's from somewhere, not from Sydney, but he's an Asian artist.
Ooh.
And he's really good.
Okay, say less.
Yeah, I'm opening for him too. Yeah, I think you guys would really like him, actually. And also, might be a little something coming in August. Might be a little something. Maybe perhaps project. I don't know. Keep your eyes peeled. Watch the space.
You heard it here first, folks.
You heard it here first.
But thank you for chatting with us.
Oh, it was so nice, guys.
Yeah, no, it was so chill. But before you go, where can our listeners find you?
You can find me everywhere on Spotify, Instagram, whatever. Just search up TIFFI.
Mm.
Tiffy, and that's me. You'll find me. Look for a little Asian girl. That's me.
Listen to Cold Medicine.
Yes, listen to my new song, Cold Medicine. It's so good. You're going to love it. If you don't love it, then your dad will love it.
Someone in your circle. Just pass it along.
And listener, if you're hearing this live on radio, we'll be uploading this as a podcast as well. But yeah, thank you so much for tuning in to Asian Pop Nation on Sin.
Yes, thank you so, so much to Tiffy for coming on the show. And right now, it's the moment you've been waiting for. We're going to be playing Tiffy's brand new single, Cold Medicine, right here on Asian Pop Nation.
Hey, you're listening to Asian Pop Nation. You heard Cold Medicine and Chemtrails by Tiffy because we actually chatted with her earlier on the show. But that last song you heard was Sweater Club by Jelani Arye from the album of the same name. Now we're going to throw to the team as they talk a little bit about a dating app that's being released in Japan, but not just any dating app, one that the government is actually releasing. So we have our two cents here on APN.
How do we start this? I guess like recently I was just kind of doing my scrolly scrolls online I ended up coming across this article specifically from our good old friend at the ABC about how apparently the Tokyo local government is planning to launch their own dating app as a way to boost the birth rate that is declining by the second in Japan. Obviously, it's not out at the moment, so don't know how the interface is actually going to work, but we do know some details of how they're actually going to, I guess, mandate this app because it is being done by the government itself. So apparently it's going to require people to sign a declaration confirming that they're legally single, that you are willing to get married, as well as having a tax certificate to prove like your salary at the moment. And they're planning to launch it as early as, well, the ABC article says this summer, but you know, I don't know what season they're implying here.
Oh, actually really soon. It's spring. So summer's next season. In Japan.
Oh, yeah, see, that's because it comes to ABC, I don't know if it's like, if they're saying this summer as in like us summer, so
right,
end of the year,
or
your like Japan summer. Hi, JP,
right,
who lives in Japan.
Right,
Japan summer. Either way, they're planning to launch this out like this year, so they're serious about this. Apparently, stating like an income is very common in like Japanese dating apps. That's just something you normally do. But again, what quote unquote takes this the extra mile is because it's being done by like Tokyo officials. They want you to have like a tax certificate slip to prove your annual salary. Apparently, a Tokyo government official talked about how 70% of people who want to get married aren't actively joining events or apps to look for a partner. And this was basically their way of doing a quote-unquote gentle push to find the one, basically, and to help that declining birth rate, which is, you know, interesting route to go by. Yeah, apparently there's been a lot of, like, commotion online. Obviously, some people being like, oh, my tax money is being used for this. Wow, amazing. Shout out, government. But some feel like it's actually more of a safer approach. Like, they feel, I guess, more safe that they're going into a dating app that is being launched by the local Tokyo government. Because catfishing is real. Not saying I've been there before, but catfishing is a real thing that exists. No, I just, the reason why I wanted to bring this up, right, is because, one, this whole concept is very interesting about local government wanting to develop their own dating app. But also, I think it brings a bigger conversation into the world we live in right now about dating apps. And I, Lisha Lini, am unfortunately in those dating apps.
Oh no.
What I mean about like catfishes is I've seen before scroll around and you see people using photos that are clearly either a random K-pop idol, but they're purposely choosing photos that don't like show the face as much. But if you're like a diehard fan, you'll look at that and be like, oh, that's Jaehyun from NCT. I know who that is. Random photos from like YouTubers, just like they're trying to go like a more obscure quote-unquote route. Yeah, catfishing is real, guys. And some people fall for it. I guess with doing like a local government thing, I can see why some people think like, oh, because there's so much legal documentation going into this one that's being done by the Tokyo government, I can see why it will feel more safer. But I don't know, what do you guys think about making a dating app as a way to push people to find people, which in turn is allegedly supposed to help with like the birth rate in Japan? Like, do you think this is like the route to go?
I mean, every little bit helps, you know.
Somebody who's on dating apps, I don't know how well this is gonna work, considering it is hell over here.
Right.
I've said it.
Yeah, I don't know, because I feel that there's already an aversion to dating apps. Just making it a government dating app is not going to change the fact that it's the dating app and you still have to chat with people online, connect with people. The only thing that you remove is the fear that they're not real or that they're trying to scam you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, or like people who are lying and saying they're not dating, but they're secretly having an affair or something like that by them legally writing it down. It's like, oh, look, at least you know everyone in here is single. But like you said, Zenyar, there's still like 20 billion other factors which go into it. Dating apps as a whole as well, the whole concept is very very flawed.
Very flawed.
Very, very flawed, but I don't know why. I feel like our demographic, hey guys, I'm talking to everyone here. That is where we're gravitating towards right now. Is dating app world.
Who are you talking about? Because
whoa! No, I'm just saying, like, I feel like the conversation now, it's like you like I feel like nowadays you know people in your circle who are on dating apps, or people bring it up often of like, oh yeah, I'm on a dating app, da 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 da. Like, people aren't going out to find the love of their life. I don't know.
Yeah, many factors behind that. Here, actually, like, a few of the people I work with, they met their spouses through dating apps, actually. So I wonder how different it is here in Japan. But for sure, the whole meeting people and stuff thing, it's many, many, many factors. I think one of them was, like, the lack of third places. Have you heard of those?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, yeah.
I've heard of this before, yes.
Yeah, where do people mingle? No, you know, like, you know, if you go to a bar, it's kind of like seedy, right? If a club, it's too loud. And it's like, where you go? Like, some painting class? You only find, like, old ladies there. It's a bit tough. It's a little tough. Yeah.
I think there's a lot of issues underlying the fact that these people aren't dating. And I feel like the government probably should focus on that as well, to give people time to go to these third places, or maybe even invest in making these third spaces. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, no, it runs deep, especially in Japan. Like, oh god, the workplace stuff. Like, I'm technically still working right now. It's 9:32 p.m.
Oh god. Doing stuff. Oh.
And like, even like, you could say even to like a cultural level as well. Like, in terms of romance and such, I talk about this to some of my Japanese coworkers, and they say when it comes to romance, the Japanese, they're not very open to each other. They're not very direct. So it's a little hard to navigate. It's always like those shoujo manga are real, where there are misunderstandings every time. They're like, is he like me? You know?
Damn. It's true after all. Anime is real.
Yeah, literally. I literally asked them, like, do you say I love you in Japanese? And they're like, no, we don't say that. We don't say aishiteru. Like, and daisuki, even, like, you don't say it too much, you know, so it's a little too much. So you try to be a little subtle about it.
Damn. Wait, that's so weird, though. Then why would a dating app be, like, the quote-unquote gentle push into where they want to go if it's, like, some people... Dating apps, it involves you, like, chatting up with people on their phone and having to be direct... And like, I like you, let's go on a date, da-da-da-da, sort of thing. Yeah.
Well, I think things are changing anyway. Like, the younger generation, they're getting a bit more westernized, I guess. Double-edged sword, but, you know, that's happening.
I don't know. I'm just saying, as somebody who is, unfortunately, on a dating app as of right now, I might delete it in, like, the next 2 weeks. We'll see what happens. I don't know if a dating app is gonna be the savior, you know, of the birth rate. I don't know. It's like hell over there. I will be so real. But I'm just talking based on the Melbourne dating market.
Good luck, Leisha. Praying for you.
Ew. It's not good. Anyone who's been on dating apps or knows people who've been on dating apps know why it's not great.
You will be okay, Leisha. No worry.
I believe in you.
Yeah, we believe in you.
What the hell is this?
You can do it. Yeah.
Even Ethan's giving us thumbs up.
Ethan from a distance giving me the thumbs up. Keep your thumbs up away. Stop with the emojis. Yeah,
Annabella's doing the
hands up. Guys, love is dead. Like, don't. No. I'm in my, like, bitter singleton era. Like, the rest of you guys who are all taken here on APN, you guys got, like, the lucky end of the route of just being, like, together with Song because you know them in real life.
Oh my god.
That's great.
Well, Leisha, hear me out. Every rom-com starts from where you are. So Don't worry.
Yes, we shall.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Live your rom-com dream.
Live your rom-com dream. Just
so I should move to New York yes. and become a publicist.
Become a writer.
Yeah. Yeah, become a writer.
Be a journalist.
Yes. Be a journalist.
Live the dream, and then finally I'll meet my one.
Your rich yeah, guy.
Your own Peter Parker.
But Leisha in New York.
Leisha in New York. We could make it a series. See how we go.
Yes.
Oh God, just ew, dating apps. I hate them to bits. That's my conclusion.
That you hear it here first, folks. That's our conclusion.
Leisha hates them. The Japanese do too.
But they might need it. We'll see. Tokyo. Omakase.
You are listening to Asian Pop Nation. We just played Atarashi Gakko's Superhuman from their album AG Calling. After that was Verse by KMNZ, the VTuber group. And that last song was Mina's Kimi ga Ineshita. Now, we're going to jump from Japan, our last discussion, to China with some games that our team are excited to play.
Hey guys, if you like China, you are in for a segment because this segment's about Chinese games.
Yay! Thanks, JP, for that one. You have such a talent in being a presenter, truly.
No problem. China's great, especially the games that are coming out lately. Lee, inform me on this. I hear many trailers have been coming out recently.
Yes. Hello. This is Lee reporting live from China. So there's a lot of games that look really good from their trailers that I've seen on YouTube, like on my TikTok and everything. But the first one that I wanted to talk about was called Phantom Blade Zero, which is made by Studio S Game from China, of course. I think, JP, you've heard about this as well.
Yes, I'm super hyped for this. I remember it being announced sometime like last year and the footage just being super sick. Like, tell us about it. What's in it? Yes. What's it about, Lee?
So all I know is that it's a new action RPG, which is set in a fictional world, which blends Chinese martial arts and steampunk and is open world. So I'm thinking like a Soulsborne Chinese mythology martial arts kind of game. So it just was announced, like JP said, but the actual release date is to be confirmed. Yeah, it looks cool. It looks like Dark Souls, but Chinese. I don't know how to describe it. Like, you're just gonna have to look at photos and you're just gonna see Chinese Dark Souls.
Yeah, no, she's not even joking. Like, imagine, you know how Dark Souls is like, it's dark and sort of like ashy and gray sometimes. Well, this is what Phantom Blade, it's like, except you play as this dude with a big hat and you fly around the swords and you do martial arts and you get a big cannon and you can shoot people. And then they're like, bosses, and they're big and they have big swords. It's very cool. It's like a wuxia, but Dark Souls. Very nice.
If you do want to actually see like gameplay of it, I know on the interwebs on good old YouTube, IGN has like a whole 10-minute exclusive gameplay clip of Phantom Blade Zero. And I think from the clips you can like get the vibe of what the combat is. It is very Dark Souls coded.
It's Dark Souls, yeah.
And that game, whoa, I don't know how people play games like Dark Souls. it's just wow.
What do you mean how do you play games like Dark Souls?
You
what
press are you talking dodge, about? And then you roll
and then you hit them with your sword. You press R1.
Those sort of games are notoriously known to be like really difficult, and you kind of need to not have any soul to really progress through games like this.
Just get good.
What are you saying?
Skill issue, bro. Dude, games aren't even that hard. You know what's hard? Like life and the circumstances.
The game of life, the board game, is really hard. Yes, raising a family and kids in the future, that's hard. Dark Souls gameplay, nothing.
Yeah, it's nothing. But you know what is something? The next game, which is also hella like Chinese myth, like it's called Black Myth Wukong.
Oh, dude, God.
It's so cool. It's a lot like Phantom Blade Zero, I think, where it's like third-person action role-playing game. And it's developed by Game Science, also a Chinese studio. And it is based off the 16th century Chinese novel Journey to the West. Like, what? You play as the Monkey King. You got it. You get this big pole and you can smack people with it. It's so cool. Lee, have you seen gameplay of Wukong?
I have. It looks pretty cool. Like, the combat. Mm-hmm. Just like Phantom Blade, there are, if you search on the interwebs, you can see gameplay from them as well. And apparently they are like an indie studio, and like the gameplay does not look like it's from an indie studio. This looks like a big AAA game. Like, this is what I'd expect from a Dark Souls game, you know?
Yeah, literally. But
yes, this game is gonna be released really soon, August 20th, 2024 this year. Apparently, like...
Yeah, no, it says apparently for the PlayStation 5 specifically, and then... For Windows, PlayStation 5 and Windows. Yeah, both of those. And Xbox, they get it like a bajillion years later. It's TBA.
Hell yeah. I'm happy Mac is being excluded because it's fun to bully Mac.
They've never been included in anything.
Yes, Mac. Yeah.
Maybe like Sims 4 and Stardew Valley, but that's about it.
That's pretty much it. Wow. But yeah, those are the two Chinese Dark Souls games we've had lately. But there's another game. It's come out recently, and it's one that Lee has been playing a lot. Would you like to introduce it to the class, Lee?
Yeah, your addiction.
Whoa. Okay. So this new game is called Wuthering Waves, but it's a free-to-play action RPG. It's developed and published by Kuro Games, and it was released May 22nd this year. So I have been playing ever since it was released. But it has a lot of similarities to another Chinese game called Genshin Impact. Ooh. And this is because apparently the devs at Genshin Impact besties with Kuro Games. So I think that's why. I don't know. Maybe they use the same like game engine or like game design thing. But a lot of stuff really similar. But what makes Wuthering Waves different from like Genshin Impact and like all the other gacha games is that it emphasizes combat more than like the other gacha games. So like, I really, really like this game because compared to Genshin Impact, which I stopped playing, it's because like you can actually dodge. There's like combos when you switch between your characters and intro and outro skills. And also you can collect echoes, which are Pokemon essentially, and then you can like in battle use the Pokemon to fight enemies as well. It's really cool.
Yo, what?
Yeah.
Wait,
it's a very elaborate combat system they got.
Yo, I didn't know it was that cool. Wait, what?
Yeah, you get Pokemons.
Okay, yeah. I might actually get it.
It's free.
It's free.
It's free to play.
Free?
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Oh,
but yes, God. I really like it. I need to touch grass, but I finished all the like quests that came out in the first patch, so I have nothing to do now, so I'm just, like, grinding bosses to get resources.
Oh my god, this is when you characters. Know. This is when you know she's addicted.
I hate grinding stuff, but, like, there's nothing else to do in this game other than to grind for resources, so help me.
Oh my god.
I can confirm from outsider perspective, this is, like, the game Lee has been addicted on for like the past few weeks. This is her baby right now. Every day she brings up something about this game. It's a problem. If you're somebody who comes from like Genshin Impact world, or even like kind of Honkai Star Rail end, but not really with the same combat system, I think like what Wuthering Waves is like a good friendly competition to Hoyoverse. Ew. The Hoyoverse, I don't know, I feel like they've taken over this sort of genre for the longest time right now. So there's a new kid in town taking over. And I also know a lot of friends like Lee as well, that they've like jumped ships basically. This is like their new like love of their lives, because the combat system is actually really good for like a free-to-play game. It's very elaborate.
Yeah, and you can dodge.
And you can dodge.
You can parry. Yeah.
Oh my god.
You should play so it. It's kind of cute. I would say the IMO, the dialogue is not
Yeah, but
the dialogue is not it.
Unlike the other games, there's a skip button for the dialogue, so you can skip the entire dialogue, even if you've never played the game before. Yes, okay, you can just focus on the battle. Yes.
Yeah, those are the Chinese games for today. Maybe we'll talk about them more some
other. I feel like they're having a big moment in the game world right now. They're digging over the spaces, so more.
So send some love to China in the comments. If you're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Asian Pop Nation, thank you, China.
China number one.
China number one.
You're listening to Asian Pop Nation, Sin's home for Asian music and pop culture. We've just played Domodachi by RM featuring British rapper Little Sims, and after that, a really interesting track from Iaeon, Kim Isle, and J-Clef. This was the title track to the self-titled debut album, Bat Apartment, from a new collective of experimental K-R&B and K-hip-hop artists. This album is a really interesting listen, it's very immersive. And even from that first track, Bat Apartment, the collective really pull you into their world. Fun fact, all the songs on the album have the same BPM of 89 and key of E-flat. But that brings us to the end of the show for this week. Our team tonight was Lee, Lisha, JP, Xenia, and also Ethan and Annabella lurking in the call. Thank you so much for joining us on tonight's show. We started off with a really fun interview with Tiffy, talked about Japan's government-run dating app and how much dating apps suck in general. And finally, we talked about some really accessible and not so accessible Chinese games. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Asian Pop Nation, and also follow our playlists on the Asian Pop Nation playlist Spotify account. And with that, I'd like to end the show with one last song. The title of this track is Tsuyu no Ato Saki, which translates to After the Rain, and it comes from a Japanese band called Lilubai. And with that, we hope you have a good night. We'll be back next week here on Asian Pop Nation. Bye-bye.